they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back is Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello with Column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Bruce McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Thursday, March 14th. Welcome into another show, guys. I'm fired up. That video, especially there in that intro of Landon cutting the net down off of a Nerf goal after a 2022 SEC championship game, gets me like redneck fired up.
Feels good.
Landon, Sunday, if we do it, that Nerf net's coming down again.
You
set a bad precedent. I just need you to know that.
Yeah. That's fine. That's worth it.
It absolutely is. I'm fired up. It's March. We got multi-view going right now here in the background at my place, which also you can build your own multi-view. No free shout outs, but shout out to YouTube TV. We set up the TV at work. Shout out to me. I brought it, but I'm not gonna brag on myself or anything. it's March. March is here. I'm coining this March of the Volunteers. And when Tennessee wins a national championship, the documentary will be narrated by the same guy. Was March of the Penguins narrated like a Planet Earth type documentary? We'll say it was.
I don't know.
I've never seen it. I feel like it was in theaters for years, and I haven't seen it once. A lot of people liked it, but I was more about those like Penguins from Madagascar was more my speed. So, yeah, March of the Volunteers, it starts tomorrow. It's Mississippi State. I got to be honest. I'm just going to like flat out put it out there. I don't like playing a team that beat you that you didn't get. Like if it was Texas A&M, different story. You beat them once. I feel better. I feel okay. I don't love the thought. That's it. Matchup wise, we're fine. But the thought of it, don't love. I'll just be honest.
Yeah, I think the good thing about it is like every team that you've lost to, you've come back and beat. South Carolina,
or
Texas A&M.
Kentucky, you beat them once pretty handedly.
Yeah, and this is the last team in the SEC that you haven't beaten at least once. So this is a chance where you could be the actual king of the SEC, king of the hill.
Okay. All right. I mean, well, they already are that, though.
We are. But just to clear, just so there's no
stamp of approval.
Exactly.
Final stamp.
Yeah, Mississippi State can't just go and be like, hey, we were the only ones that didn't lose.
Yeah, swept them. Yeah. I mean, you got to get, we passed the executive branch. We're going to legislative tomorrow. And then Sunday would be, judicial branch and would be official like kings of the SEC for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Yeah, it's a, you know, checks and balances, Landon. Checks and balances.
Yeah.
I am fired up for this. It's been, last night was a fun one. Dude, I don't think an arena has been that noticeably packed for Wednesday night games that I can remember in recent years. Did you get to watch any of Missouri and why am I blanking?
Georgia.
God, Missouri, Georgia, and then for the Arkansas Vanderbilt game. Did you notice how just I didn't see? I guess the second game I watched till halftime, and then I got too tired and went to bed. But the first game, there were quite a few people there. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I bet on Georgia just because like Missouri, you already lost 18 straight SEC games. You can't win one now.
You don't get the benefit. I'm a sicko. I was rooting for one of them to win a tournament, win the tournament.
Oh,
that's electric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been cool. But 0-19 is pretty awesome.
But it's been done before, hasn't it? Or was it, did Stackhouse get a win? Or not, or Bryce Drew.
I don't know.
What Vanderbilt team was that that went pretty close to 0-4, if not 0-4?
It had to be Stackhouse.
Stackhouse, right? Yeah. I think Stackhouse went. Did he get one win? I don't remember. But anyways, yeah, you listen, they get an auto bid if they win it. You had to root for it. And I know that means if Vanderbilt wins, that means they probably would have beat Tennessee at some point. But at that point, you're just kind of like, yeah, like that's cool. Let it happen.
I love that Missouri has sold their souls just for football. They're like, we don't care about anything else. We're just going to be like decent at football.
I feel like that's not going to work out for them either, but it's that's
probably the point. Probably not. Maybe they just sold their soul for one good season.
I get it. 2022 was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
I get it.
Yep.
2016 was fun for like 2 months. So again, I get it. I'd sell my soul for a fun month.
But they're really bad at basketball, really bad at baseball. So,
I mean, I genuinely think they're just bad. I don't think it's by, you know, decision or even maybe even a fault of their own. It doesn't help that they're in just nowhere USA. They've got Branson. That's about it.
Jefferson City.
They do have a Jefferson City. Mm-hmm. They do have St. Louis, but let's be 100% honest. For as big and historical, I guess, the Arch is kind of lame. Been there, done that, not that cool.
I've never been, so I don't have a take on that. But I have heard that the Arch is like cool, like it's there.
It's one of those you pull up to see just to kind of say you saw it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what do we do now? And I'm not. And maybe it's cool if you go up in it. I'm going to be 100% clear. I had my dog with me, so I couldn't leave him in the car and go up it. But also, I'm deathly afraid of heights, and I would be terrified. I'm minorly claustrophobic. I can handle some tight situations, like, you know, the concourses in the south end zone. Those kind of tight spaces, I live for. I crave. But going up in an elevator at an angle, in a tiny, tiny elevator, nope, I'm out.
Good.
So I wouldn't do it anyways, but I did have my dog as an excuse.
Okay.
Yeah. Plan smart.
That was officially tournament time.
Show, man.
Yeah, it's officially tournament time. Tennessee has their opponent for the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament in Mississippi State. Here's the thing with Mississippi State. They're relying way too much on a freshman to keep them in ball games. And he is lights out from three. He was against us. He did have 24 against LSU, but that's kind of all. Like, Tolu Smith is a really good post player for them. But if they have any chance of winning any ball games, it's because of Josh Hubbard.
Yes.
And he's been their leading scorer for the past six games. They lost four of them. They lost four in a row until they played LSU yesterday. Or today, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this is the team that, other than, like you mentioned, Josh Hubbard being really good from three, you match up pretty well. In terms of just paper, like, you should beat them. I think they are. You mentioned Tulu Smith. They're very physical. And I think that's something that Tennessee's got. Not that Tennessee's not physical. You know they are. They do struggle. There are teams that are more physical than them in the paint. Mississippi State's one of them. And that's where you'll struggle. I need to pull up. I probably should have done this before. I don't remember the rebound breakdown in the first matchup. But I can't imagine it would be – even if Tennessee somehow won it, I can't imagine it would be – in great, oh my God, it was dead even. I was about to say, I can't imagine it'd be great in Tennessee's favor drastically. Mm-hmm. They're willing to get down and get dirty. Mississippi State is. And so, I mean, it's not just the greatest matchup of all time, but on paper, Tennessee's better. I mean, you can look at wins and losses, but you can also look at points for, points against. Rebounds, assist. Like, I mean, they're better.
Yeah. And a lot of things that kind of stick out in that last matchup that has kind of like been the story of the season. When Tennessee loses a ball game, they have a bad first half, usually.
Yeah.
Tennessee in this one, when they played Mississippi State the first time, scored 22 points. Kentucky, they scored 29. Vescovi, Josiah, Jordan James average or combined 5 points.
Yeah, I can't. You don't like that. And they and it's not just the 5 points. They also didn't really impact the other scoring columns. Vescovi had 4 assists. Josiah had 6 rebounds. That's great, but you've got to Josiah's got to do what he does best and fill the stat sheet. Like, he should have something in every column.
Yeah, combine 2 for 12 from the field and 0 for 6 from 3. I mean, that's – you got to have more from those guys. I mean, that's huge key just in all of March, not just for tomorrow against Mississippi State.
Yeah, and I will say, I think at that point in the season, especially those guys, we're still filling out their role a little bit. Like, I don't think it had been at that point. I don't think it had been 100%. Like, not just Dalton Connect, but also Jonas Adu, who fouled out of that game. This guy Ziegler, who had 26. Like, it wasn't exactly. We know who needs to be shooting the ball the most. Mm-hmm. So I think this is not a different Tennessee team, but a more polished Tennessee team than you saw in Starkville early. Second game of the SEC slate. I think that Tennessee has, yes, they've improved, but I think more so they've learned who they are. Yeah. And played to those strengths. That's another thing with Jonas Adu, though, too, real quick. He's got to find a way to be physical without committing fouls. It feels like when he's his most physical, he gets into foul trouble, which you love it. You love that he's willing to get down and dirty, but we need him in ball games. And so he's got to find a way to do that.
Yeah, I think he gets in a habit a lot because he is such a good rim protector, is just like swatting at the ball. So when he gets in bad position, that's what he's doing is swatting and getting fouls. Hey, live to see another day.
Yeah,
and if they get good position, no need to hack. There's no need in it.
Yeah, and being a good rim protector, yes, blocks is the stat you look for. But when you watch games and you see a good rim protector – it's also someone who discourages people from going to the rim. They're in the right position. Their hands are up, and they make shots difficult. They don't necessarily always get blocks. And so, yeah, we need him to be a good rim protector in terms of stat category. We need him to get blocks. But more than anything, we need him to be in the game so that he can redirect shooters. You don't want that lane to be easy. And that's what Jonas Adu gives you on the defensive end, even when he's not making blocks. And so you need him on the court. Tobey Waka, physical guy, has really good spells of basketball. He's not the rim protector that Jonas Adu is at all.
Yeah, he's the one that you could afford to foul out. Jonas Adu is a first-team All-SEC player.
Yeah.
You can't – it's going to be hard for Tennessee to score the basketball with just Dalton Connect, Zakai Ziegler with no inside presence if Jonas Adu is sitting on the bench. You know, you need him to play 100%. 26, 27 minutes, not 20 with 5 fouls. I mean, that Tolu Smith – he shot 12 free throws in that game the last time. I mean, he only shot the ball 10 times and had 23 points. The majority of his points were from the free throw line. And Tennessee was 10 for 16 from the free throw line, lost by 5. That hurts as well. That was just a horrible game. I hated to relive that. But there were some things I wanted to point out that have when Tennessee's playing not their best basketball, usually those certain things are the case.
Yeah,
bigs absolutely. Are in foul trouble, not getting anything from Vescovi and Josiah offensively, and then, you know, not obviously not shooting from the three-point line well, not hitting free throws. And those things just it's insane that Tennessee's able to stay in games when all those things happen. But somehow they do, but they usually end up losing those games because of it.
There's a white guy that wears the number 3 on the court that usually has something to say about Tennessee staying in those games pretty often.
Yeah. Let's get off to a hot start. Let's
100%. Ben, well, and you going back to kind of last game and what Tennessee needs this March, you need good bench play. You need Mayshak to be good. You need Jordan Gainey to shoot the ball and make it. You need Tobey Waka to give you valuable minutes. I mean, that you need your guys coming off the bench to be really, really good. especially tomorrow, because it will be physical. And so there are probably going to have to be some fouls that you just kind of eat. But that's why those guys are going to be important, because there may be slim minutes for the starters. Hopefully not too many of them in the first half.
Yeah. If it were up to me, my game plan in this game, I'm shacking the hell out of Josh Hubbard.
I'm starting Tobey Awaka, JP Estrella, and you just get them out of the game as fast as possible due to foul trouble. They should be fouling somebody.
I'm having Jemai Mashak on Josh Hubbard the entire time. I mean, know what he had for lunch. Know what he had for dinner. Know what he had for breakfast. Know what he had for dinner 3 days ago. That's what I want to know. Jemai Mashak all over Josh Hubbard.
Like a dog, like sniffing butts, recognize him kind of deal? What are we doing here? How are we knowing what they ate for dinner?
Yeah, more like a – yeah.
We're facing them. Okay. I didn't know where you were going with that. No. They are the Bulldogs, and we have Smokey as our mascot. So, I mean, it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, if somebody wants to dunk on Mississippi State like Admiral Schofield did a couple years ago in the SEC tournament, that'd be cool too.
You got some guys that can do it. There's some guys out there that can do it. Maybe not as quite as authoritative as our man Admiral, but they can do it.
Yeah. I mean, put DJ Jefferson in the game and just let him freaking cram on somebody.
So I looked at you mentioned Josh Hubbard again, which you should be. But Wes Rucker had a tweet saying the battle of two short kings, Josh Hubbard and Zakai Ziegler. Would like to preface this. I'm just as short as Zakai. He's not 5'9", right? There's no way. That's what he's listed on the roster.
I don't know. I've never been up to him in person to know how tall he is. He doesn't look that tall on the court, but also those guys are really
I feel like he doesn't look that tall anywhere, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yes, the court, he does look short, but anywhere. I don't know. Anyways, Josh Hubbard's listed at 5'10". I've never really paid attention to how short he is. I just feel like 5'10 is a lot taller than Zakai. And if you're 5'10", I know it's basketball. I'm sorry, you don't get to claim short king. I will gatekeep short king. You don't get to do that. Just because you play a sport with abnormally tall people. It's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Which I doubt he's claiming it. But get your man, Wes Rucker, Josh Hubbard.
Yeah. I mean, just knock him off the three-point line. Make him make – I mean, he can make some 35-pointers, but –
Well, I think that's the thing too. Is
35 we've, footers, not 35 footers. Pointers.
6'1". Yeah. You gotta. I think with him being their own, not their only threat from three, but their most prominent threat from three. I think you have to. Whoever's guarding him has to be smart about help defense. I love that Tennessee plays help defense better than anyone in the country. That's also why Tennessee's susceptible to three. To the three ball. It's people can if the guy that is receiving the help defense can find the open man, or the team is able to move the ball well, they find a guy there on the 3-point line. And so the guy that's guarding Josh Hubbard, I think, has to be wary of that and has to know my help defense has to be limited because I have to get to him fast or I have to deny him the ball.
Yeah. I think that's what you do. Deny them the basketball. Make
face
them,
guard, maybe.
Yeah, make them have to dribble around. I mean, when they played Tennessee the last time, one guy hit a three besides Josh Hubbard. And they hit one.
Well,
I mean, he's about all they got that's going to do damage to Tennessee from behind the arc. So let's – I mean, play Mashak 35 minutes or however long Josh Hubbard plays, and let's just – Mashak the crap out of him.
You sub Mashak in for any time. You just guard Hubbard.
Yeah.
He gets off the bench. You know what? Let's start it tonight. Mashak, go to his hotel. If he leaves the hotel room, you follow him. Don't go in his hotel room. That's weird. Stand guard.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at the arena, he goes to the bathroom, you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Also, Rick, if you need somebody to face guard, I'll do it. I have unapologetically face guarded someone in a pickup basketball game.
It's legal.
And you know why? Because if someone is dropping point after point after point on me, I get sick of it. And you should too. Face guard.
Yep.
I would love to see that. That'd be so much fun to see Mashak just follow him around the court in his grill.
Because, if he don't go 5 for 10 from three, Tennessee easily wins that game. even with Tolu Smith having 23 points. They don't have a lot else.
Right. That's not a great basketball team by any means. No. It's shocking how not good their record is, though. I will say that.
Yeah, I think they should be better. Now, they were down, I think, like 7 points at halftime to LSU today.
And I
came all the way back.
I didn't get to
win by 10.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch all of it, but just kind of tuning in and out, not always paying attention to the score. I was telling someone, I think, were they down by, I thought they were down by 8 at one point. Was it 7?
It's 7 or 8 at halftime. Yeah, it was something like that.
I remember thinking, like, oh, this is an LSU win. And no, they pulled it together. Yeah, I mean, they're not terrible, which is kind of scary too. But like I said, I'm all for the revenge factor. I would just like to feel good. It's March. You're never going to feel good about a game. I don't know why I'm lying to myself. If you feel good, you're wrong.
Yeah.
No matter who you play. Not even Vanderbilt. That was not great basketball last night. It was a fun game to watch. Don't get me wrong. Ooh, that was a tough one.
How do you hit that shot and then lose in overtime?
Well, they also Arkansas gets a rebound. Shot clock turned off, and they weren't going to foul. The players on the court were not going to foul. They let like 3 seconds run off before they could get, because they went to just guard them. And I was like, guys, you are aware they could just run the clock out here, correct? Okay.
Yeah. We're on the same bold page. Strategy.
We're all on the same page. Oh, I love March, dude. This just, it just fires me up.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is by far, if you're just a fan of sports in general, this is by far I'm not saying it's like the best part of the sports calendar, but the most fun. It's the most fun part of the sports calendar.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
Because I would say the best that is also a ton of fun is, I mean, all of college football is, but in terms of just my favorite, is probably like late September, early October through championship week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the whole bowl season is just like packed too drawn out. Just like, a couple weeks.
See, I'm okay with it being packed into a few weeks. I just wish you didn't have to go, which it is better with all these random bowls now. They start earlier. They don't go all the, they don't start around Christmas all the time. But it just, I hate waiting a month for the national championship, even the playoff. You wait almost, you wait 3 weeks for. Just play at the net. And I think that's the better part about expanding the playoff is like, I'm not mad about the national championship being in January, but the fact that you take 3 weeks off is it for teams that aren't in it, you kind of lose the luster of it. And the week of is always building up to it is always fun, but you just kind of get, all right, let's get this over with kind of deal.
Yeah. I mean, you take so much time off for one game and then it's over.
Yeah.
Just like I want more. I need more. You just don't get it. Yeah. March Madness is incredibly fun to just follow. Even those, like, I think my favorite time is those like first two rounds when there's literally like multiple games on at the same time. And like
multi-view, baby.
A lot of them are blowouts, but you're just like, man, there's some that are closer. So you turn it over to that True TV or whatever weird channel that no one watches any other time of the year.
That's another part that's kind of underrated is the random TV. You find out people that don't normally do basketball games sometimes don't even do sports at all. They have them on.
Yeah.
Because I guess TBS, they still do baseball, correct? They still do the Atlanta games, right? Or at least home games.
Yeah, they do a lot of that.
Yeah, so at least they've got that going for them.
I don't know if TBS does that anymore.
Anymore?
Because I think they do. Don't they do like Bally Sports now?
Does Atlanta do Bally Sports too?
I think so.
I thought Atlanta had some deal because something with Time Warner. I thought they did TBS, but yeah, that makes sense. I don't watch Atlanta baseball.
I don't either. we do have a question about March in Tennessee. So, what are your keys?
Okay.
for the Vols in March. I guess your biggest key. I mean, there's a lot of keys, right?
Yeah. Free throws are 100%. You got to be. And not that Tennessee's been bad at them down the stretch of SEC play, but you mentioned that Mississippi State game early on. There were a few games early on. South Carolina, you win the game if you make 80% of your free throws. It's Tennessee's got to – I mean, really, it's probably on – I think the biggest call-out I would have is Dalton Kinect in the free throw department. It seems like Zakai, which you still don't want him to miss him early on, but it seems like every time he's called upon late in games, he hits.
Okay.
That's
your biggest key to winning in March or getting to the
final. I thought we had more than one.
Oh no.
So I was gonna start kind of rattling. I mean, but yes, that's a huge one. You're gonna like I mentioned just before, Tennessee doesn't shoot 60% even against Mississippi State, they probably win that game. They definitely beat South Carolina. Free throws win and lose your ball games. You gotta hit those.
Yeah. I think
I'll one of my next, and then I've got, sorry, I didn't know it was just one. I didn't know it turned into one big.
Yeah. I changed it a little bit. I then said key, your biggest key.
Okay.
Cause we could probably go on forever about this. I think my main one is just help from Josiah and Santi. Like those two guys, I think are the difference in losing in the Sweet 16 and winning a national championship. I really do.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. I mean, they are crucial for so many reasons, and they're going to – I think we know what we're going to get from them in every other department other than scoring, but you need them to get points.
Yeah.
You need them to be who they are, and then you need them to score points. Like, I mean, I stand by it until I'm proven wrong. If they score 16 combined, I think Tennessee wins every ball game.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's required for Tennessee to win. But if they do that, Tennessee will not lose. I would say my biggest key actually goes to Rick Barnes and how he manages games. And I think I said this, I was talking to my brother last night. I feel like he's managed tough situations early on, especially in games, really, really well this year. I don't love Rick Barnes' timeout policy, but I'm not someone that's super harsh on it. Basketball's a game of runs, and calling a timeout doesn't magically stop runs. If it did, every team that called a timeout would win ball games. No. So I think he's gotten better. I think he's more in tune this year for whatever reason. I don't know if it's veterans on the court that are community. I don't know, but he seems to be more in tune with it. Seems like there's been more well-timed timeouts from him. And then I think he's done a better job, it seems, this year of he's classic, two fouls in the first half, you're sitting. I don't know if he's done it with anyone else, but he seemed to give Dalton Kinect more leeway.
Yeah.
And I think you have to know, regardless of fouls, who you need on the court at any given time. And, yeah, that's on the players. You don't want those early cheap fouls. But I also want Rick Barnes to do a better job of knowing what you need in that moment. Because, like I said, basketball is a game of runs. Who can sustain runs for themselves the longest and who can sustain them the opposite way and fight off the losing runs? And so I think you don't want to lose the game early because you weren't able to sustain a run because your best player, your best defender, or your best rebounder is sitting on the bench with two fouls. Yeah. Because if you're going to lose the game while they sit there with two fouls, why does it matter if they're playing with three or four later on in the game if you're going to lose? And so I think you've got to manage that roster better. I think he's done a better job this year, but we'll see what it comes down to here in March.
Yeah, there have been some times where you're like, where is Dalton Kinect? Even though, like,
which I don't think that's so much about foul trouble, to be fair, but yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like part of my next thing kind of leads off that a little bit is just a fast start in the first half. Like if you can score close to 40 points, I mean, I think the maturity of this basketball team with all the seniors and veteran players that you have, it seems like the second half is fine. Like we usually come back, but it's that this might get some foul trouble. It kind of takes us off our game a little bit, and then shots aren't falling, and then we're not hitting free throws, and we're fouling and giving up threes. Like, it just seems like it kind of crumbles under us a little bit until we get to halftime. They're like, okay, find your footing. We're good. We can come back. We have the firepower to do so. We have the best scorer in America, and let's trust him.
Yeah.
But I do feel like in the first half at times there, we just go cold and not even like freezing, frigid cold, like Mount Everest cold, where we couldn't throw it in the ocean.
And I think too, that's on, I mean, yes, it's always gonna be on coaching, but it's also on, the guys on the court and knowing when the best shot in that moment, the best shot opportunity you get in that moment may not be the best shot in that moment. Jordan Ganey, I think, is always going to be the best example of this season.
He's shooting.
he's shooting. And I think he's got to know that some of those, the wide open threes are not the ones I'm talking about, but the ones that you find yourself with a good look, but maybe we could find an extra pass or something like that. I think you have to know that when you're shooting cold, find another option. You know, be willing to go to the rim is kind of the end of that.
Yeah.
And go where the shots are easier. Or I guess higher percentage would be the right way to say it, because it's not going to be easier going to the hole. You can't go ice cold, but I think where basketball is a game where that happens, you have to find other ways to score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of, like, guys that have carried you when it's gone cold is getting it inside, getting it to Adu. I would like to see, if you're going cold, I would like to see that lineup where Adu and Awaka go in, and we're just feeding the post. If nothing else, we're getting fouls where, like, maybe they're in the opposing team's in the situation where they have to sit guys in that first half.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're not able to get hot. They're not able to score 40 or 50 points in a first half on you, you know, when you're cold, and kind of keep it at level playing field. And then, you know, again, when we find the second half, it seems like everything kind of clicks for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Tennessee's definitely got some, you know, work cut out for them, because when it gets into March and that, I don't know if it's like a switch for teams, but it gets a little more competitive, that you've got to sustain some things that you haven't always been able to sustain or have been really difficult to sustain, which that's a positive that Tennessee seemed to have been able to answer, even those first half woes pretty well. But it just gets harder and harder because it's a fit, you know, it's crunch time now.
Yeah.
And, I got to find ways to do that. I've been impressed with this year with Tennessee's ability to adjust and, find different ways to make it work, to whether that be on the defensive end when teams go on 7-0, 9-0 runs, whatever it may be. I feel good about where we're at. And truthfully, this week, I want to win it all. I want to win it all. It's like the Kentucky game. You already won the championship, didn't care. Wanted to beat Kentucky. It didn't matter, but I wanted to beat Kentucky. This game in the grand scheme, or this week, in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter. But first off, you want to get off. You want to get comfortable. You want to learn how to play back-to-back games. I know a lot of these veterans have done it, but you want this team to do it. And I want to win. I know rest would be fun and nice probably, but I think winning your first three games in postseason would be a way bigger lift for this team.
Yeah, it would be really fun if we just forgot how to lose.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that Kentucky loss stung real bad. Even though it didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, I hope it stung real bad. Because it seemed like that maybe they did forget how to lose, and then they figured it out real quick.
Yeah.
Maybe not real quick. That's not the right word. That made it sound like we got stomped on. I wasn't the one tweeting with 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left, we got embarrassed on our home court. Wasn't me. I said that. It sounded like I did. I promise I didn't. I didn't do that.
Dylan says, if the Vols don't get a number one seed, who do you want as the one seed in your bracket?
Give us anybody, anywhere.
Yeah. I do think if we don't get a one seed, it'll be the lowest one seed is who we'll have.
Yeah. So it'll be UNC or – I don't know what Arizona, I guess, doesn't play till tomorrow. But
yeah, it'd be probably one of those teams. And that's cool with me. Like, Arizona, it's going to be a good basketball team regardless. I don't think I want it to be UConn. That's the only team that I'm just like, man, that team is good.
Yeah. You'd also have to make it to the Elite Eight to even face them. And then they also could pull an Alabama and lose in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. You never know who you're going to face when you get to the Elite Eight. So,
Landon Allen, he said, saw ZZ at the Sono Food City. Shout out Sono. No free shout outs. I do most of my shopping there, though. He is 5'8 at best. Yeah, again, feel like me and him are looking eye to eye. And especially with no hair, I don't know if the doctor would measure me at 5'8.
Basketball shoes makes you a little taller, though, right?
That's true. I get a little lift in there.
Yeah.
He also said, watch Barnes after he scores. He touches his nose just about every time. It's like his nervous tick. I've never noticed that. Now I'm going to be watching for something. yeah. I like that he does it after. Yeah. I like that he does it after we score, though. He, in his mind, he's convinced himself at some point in his life that if he doesn't do it, we won't score the next time down the court.
Yeah. Maybe that's.
So I like that thought.
Yeah, after a made basket, is that like his celebration? He's like, I can't do anything else right now. I'm not going to run on the court like Buzz Williams, but I'll go ahead and just touch my nose.
I hate that you brought that up, Landon, because that's other Landon that I'm going to be staring at Rick Barnes all day tomorrow.
Yep, should be fun. Love that March is here. Hopefully the next show we're talking about cutting the nets. Hopefully we are cutting the nets.
Might be cutting the nets down the next show. You never know. You never know. It's March, baby. It's like a nose wipe. So he hits one of these. Maybe he's up on the sugar. I don't know. He's got to stay awake somehow, right? He's getting old.
Yeah.
It's just for the nighttime games.
Maybe it's like he's just got a little bit of salt right there and he just
a little smelling salt.
Yeah.
Just get some wake up.
Yeah. Get some fired up. All right. Let's get into some spring practice starting Monday. And just talk about some storylines. I just want to talk a little bit of football because sometimes like when we're deep in basketball, baseball starts, like you forget like we have a really good football team too.
Well, you say that like it's been a common theme in the last few years. It's more been like hope we never have to talk about this ever again. It's definitely the last 2 years have been you really want to you don't want football or basketball season and baseball season to just fly by, but you're also like I could go for some Saturdays in Neyland. I can do that right now
for sure.
I'm gonna be 100% honest, regardless of how good we are. Spring practice is very underwhelming. It's I feel like this is recent kind of deal, but I feel like it's turned into NFL preseason where the guys you really want to like find out about and see, they don't, or maybe not even find out about, but also they're just really good. So you want to see them, don't participate for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. I think it's more of just like, they're very careful with everybody.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Get me fired up every once in a while.
Yeah. I think my main thing is like, it's another spring practice going into it where you know exactly who your starting quarterback is. So that's got to be a leg up for a lot of people in the country.
Yeah, I mean, even just your team, you probably feel you're not kind of looking around and looking for the next guy. Who's it going to be? You just have he's your leader. He's your quarterback. Yeah. He's QB1. So, yeah, I mean, that definitely feels good. And it's nice for that, talking about storylines, it's nice for that to not be a storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, Nico, this is your team. Just get better, improve. And maybe I think that's a big thing, too, where, like, like his sole focus should be like forward, not looking behind him like, oh, this guy's like right on my tail. There isn't one.
Right.
No offense to Jake Merklinger. It's just the reality of the situation. He is the starting quarterback. I'm not saying that Jake Merklinger couldn't be a good quarterback. I don't know. I haven't seen anything from him at the University of Tennessee. So hopefully he can get there, but like, you know exactly who the starting quarterback is, and that's Nico.
Yeah, I think even if it was two good quarterbacks, I don't know if I'd – two. I mean, I guess one wouldn't be proven regardless. But even if Hendon had come back last year and it was a Hendon or, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, well, you know, Joe Milton could play his way into a starting role. I still don't think I would enjoy that QB competition. It doesn't make you feel better that one guy hasn't cemented himself.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case here. Going in, yeah, I think, you know, like, Jake Merklinger could be good, but you at least have a guy that cemented himself.
When's the last time it's worked out for Tennessee where we've had a true quarterback battle and that person won? And you're like, okay, like that was good competition. That was good for this football team. It hasn't been the last.
No, it was, and there really
anything recent. It did
till mid season, but Eric Ainge and Brent Schaefer was probably the last time.
Yeah.
So, Dobbs didn't get the starting job until Worley was gone. Or hurt midseason in 13 and 14. Hendon got it by default. I guess he did come back and then but he was the guy again, you know, it wasn't the reference I gave you of, oh, could Joe play his way into it. No, I mean, you had a cemented guy there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would probably, off the top of my head, I'd have to say, in terms of it working out, Ainge and Brent Schaefer.
Yeah.
Believe me, yeah. Tennessee's not immune to QB competitions. It's just how competitive has it been? I mean, that Garantano Dormandy one, really, that one really just got going. It got hot.
What about the Harrison Bailey? What was that one?
Was there a Harrison Bailey competition? I thought he never.
Well, it was like the JG, Brian Maurer, Harrison Bailey. Like, everybody's like, oh, can one of those guys overthrow JG? And it just never.
I feel like you're giving Harrison Bailey so much credit here. I don't know if his name was ever in that. Harrison Bailey borderline ended up like J.J. Peterson. Like, was he ever here? I don't know if you could
prove. He won us a game against Vandy.
I don't know if you could, in fact, prove that he was. Landon, I could win football games against Vanderbilt for any team in the country.
Well, that's true.
I don't know if you could prove that he ever stepped foot on campus.
Yeah. I mean, that really wasn't a quarterback competition. It was like, we don't really have anybody else that's worth a crap, so let's just go with the guy who we went with the last couple of years, and it's not worked.
I'm trying to update my Jared Garantano mention board here, but I don't know where my chalk went. Devastating, man. Devastating. Hold on.
You need a chalk guy. Also, Providence is beating Creighton right now.
Well, no update. Don't worry. My boy Ethan Cundiff will hit me with the picture here after the show, I'm sure. He's always on it.
I love it.
Always on it. I appreciate him. All right, yeah, so other storylines anyways.
I think the offensive line, I mean, the newcomers definitely is something that everybody wants to see. The offensive line is intriguing to me. You have John Campbell moving over to right tackle. You have Lance Hurd, the LSU transfer. You have your guys, and Cooper Mays is back. Spraggins is back. Who's going to play left guard? No one knows. But who's that kind of next wave of, like, who's your left guard? Because Ollie Lane's not here anymore. So that spot's kind of wide open. Can any of these freshmen help at all? Who's your backup center? If Cooper, you know, he has dealt with injuries in the past, and you don't have Ollie Lane to scoot over there, who's your backup center? And then, like, I just want to see Lance Hurd. I just want to see him.
I think it's a very fair person to want to see. And I think that's one thing, you know, going into the storyline of the offensive line, there's a lot of questions of what it'll shake out to be in the fall. I think right now I don't think anyone is alarmed or should be alarmed. But there's definitely some, all right, like we probably want to see this ironed out before we go home for the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think secondary is a big one. Like, who the heck is back there?
The secondary will be a big
one. Is Jalen McCullough just going to reincarnate himself or find another year of eligibility where he's the safety again?
I think that is probably the most possible scenario. But yeah, I mean, until we figure it out, and I'm still going to ask what is happening in the secondary. That unit as a whole just has to improve. It's one of those things, like, shouldn't you be at least 1% better?
Yeah. Yeah. Lost some guys at those positions, graduation, also the transfer portal. So it is like, I mean, it's going to be brand new. Everybody in it, brand new. So that's interesting to see just who kind of factors in. You'd hope Jermaud McCoy is out there. Jacoby Thomas, the guy from MTSU. I mean, there's a lot of – I mean, you have a lot of talent back there. It's just a lot of unproven young talent.
And I think that's been the storyline the last few years, and that's why the secondary is probably, again, when we get into the fall, probably going to be my most questioned position, is I don't think from just, again, the paper side of things, you look at it and you're like, man, there's talent, there's speed, there's size. Are they ball players? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can they make them ball players?
Yeah. Can somebody catch the football? That's what
I would love to see interceptions, but at this point, deny the ball, bat it down, keep it out of the end zone. Don't give guys 15 yards cushions on a 13 yard first or fourth, third down, whatever down it is.
Mm-hmm.
Have the faith in yourself to not do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're kind of set. Like, what you have at linebacker, I think, is pretty good. What you have at defensive line is solid. Running back is a weird one for me. I think you have plenty of talent back there. It's just like Dylan Sampson hasn't been the workhorse. You lost two veteran guys in that rotation in Jalen Wright and Jabari Small. Cam Seldon looked pretty good in the bowl game, but that's kind of all we've seen from him. And then who's behind him? Like, if they want to truly play three guys, who's next in line?
Yeah. I'm kind of curious how they continue to handle the running back room. Cause I think until this year, you didn't, like, Jalen Wright started off 2022. It was hard for him to get on the field, stay on the field because he had some issues hanging on to the football.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't have the ability to exactly cement himself in that one running back one role. He was able to this year, but even then they still divvied up the carries a good amount. But I mean, I would argue that you look at Tennessee's best games, it's when they ran three different guys consistently.
Yeah. And that's a weird thing. It's like a lot of people, like, looking at Jalen Wright in the draft, they're like, why didn't he get more carries? You know, when he had this big, where he averaged like 7 yards per carry. And I think a lot of it was just like, remember when they kept him fresh. So when he was in, he was able to bust big runs.
Right.
And then they don't like to sub. Like when they, in a drive, they don't hardly sub. So I think it was, you just kind of ride whoever's out there. Like if he has a whole drive, you take him out, you put somebody else in, they have that next drive. So you don't see him basically for like three drives. So I think there was just, I like it to a certain extent, but also like, I wouldn't mind if Jalen Wright getting more carries either.
Yes. And I think too, it's just, there's downs on drives that you'd like to see that number one guy in that because of the way you run your offense, he's by nature not in the game. And I think that's where it certainly does hurt you. I think it would take a deeper dive to see like how much it impacts you because like I said, it seems that Tennessee's best games, you had a good split between three backs.
Yeah.
I don't know the rhyme and reason. It could be by coincidence. I don't know. But yeah. Yeah, you would love to see Jalen last year. I've seen Jalen ride in on some bigger downs, have bigger impacts, probably not the right word because he's your biggest impact guy. But a more crucial impact, maybe a more direct impact. I don't know. Just like, you know, be able to use him in quality down and distances that you want that best running back in there.
He was your most NFL ready back. Like he was your best all around back. And there was, yeah, just some points where you just probably wanted to see him out there, but just again, the way you're running your offense, he wasn't there.
Yeah. And
so listen, like, you know, with a third and
players coach, he's keeping tread on the tires, you know?
Yeah. With a third and one up the middle, like I like to see Jalen ride, but sometimes you got Dylan Sampson and, you know, I think he's great at what he does, but like when you're just running straight up the middle, I don't know if that's my first choice in a back, but he can impact the game in so many ways. So I'm excited to see kind of how he is getting the majority of the carries this year.
Yeah, and another thing going back into getting your best back in on crucial downs or guys that are better suited for third and ones, for the example you gave. I'm not a football coach. I'm not trying to say this is 100% right, but you want teams to play on your tendencies so that then you can play off of your own tendencies. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you're playing off of their tendencies. Subbing in a back that is almost guaranteed you're going to hand the football to him, be a real good time for a play action or a quick pass or something different than the run. If you see Jalen Wright going into the ball game on third and one, you better put guys in the box.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to see you throw the ball downfield on every third and one you sub Jalen Wright into, but it'd be good to get off schedule every once in a while because teams have to load the box for that scenario.
Yeah, I agree. Also, another one.
Josh, call me. Bring me in. Consulting.
Be an analyst of some sort.
You know who the master of just like he's gonna sub. He would have subbed Jalen Wright in four straight third and ones. He would have done it for 7 weeks and ran the ball every single time. And then the most important eighth week, he's gonna throw it on that third and one after subbing Jalen Wright in. Bill Belichick. He was the king of like, I'm gonna make 10 weeks worth of tendencies for you to study, and then just go off of it and never revert back to those. Mm-hmm. And now he's a fired coach, so.
Best thing you can be.
He's looking for another job. How insane is that? Him and Tom Brady are actual psychopaths. You guys don't have to work anymore. Has anyone told them that?
That's all they know. They only know ball. They don't know what to do. They got too much time on their hands. They certainly have that. It looks like NC State's going to beat Duke. Ooh. Jay Billis must be pissed.
Well, don't worry. He'll have some excuse for some fan.
Oh, yeah. That did
something bad. I think I mentioned this at the top of the show. You can now create your own multi-view. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
So let me build my multi-view here.
Okay.
Let me get Duke and...
And also another position group I want to see, just because like Brew McCoy will not be there for spring practice, still recovering from that injury. I think it is a good thing because you know what you're going to get out of Brew McCoy when he is healthy. I think it's a good thing to get more reps for Mike Matthews, Braylon Staley, Chris Brazel, a lot of those pass catchers that probably wouldn't get those reps, you know, when you had a Brew McCoy mm-hmm. out there. So I think that's a big thing, and you know, I'm excited to see kind of what those freshmen look like. Boo Carter's another freshman on the other side of the ball. I can't wait to have him and see him in pads.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of either side of the ball, someone I would like to see. He's just so good. I would like to see him do something else. And I'm not saying even all game starter, anything like that. I would like for them to find ways to let D. Williams be impactful.
Yeah. Well, he's gone.
Oh, yeah, he is. And that sucks. So I forgot it was gone.
You're not going to get your wish of him being impactful, I guess.
I was like, something's off about him. That's, yeah, okay. Well, that's a I'm not going to harp on that too long. I hate that they couldn't make him more impactful. Next.
Yeah, it was kind of that Evan Berry kind of thing where it's just like,
we want you on the field more. I forgot he was so old because I thought he came here as a freshman, but he was a JUCO transfer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is that same Evan Berry thing. Well, and Evan even more so because you have his older brother.
Yeah, you're just like, please, like, let him on the field. And you're like, I mean, what's he going to play besides safety? And like, I don't know. I think you're just kind of an in-between, like a good football player, but you're not a great player at any position.
Yeah, which I mean, being a returner, like, is if you're as good as D. Williams or even Evan Berry, can be super valuable. But especially on teams that you just like to be more impactful. And I think you said the reason I said that about D. Williams too is because, I mean, I feel like that's going to be a tough. I'm interested to see kind of how the Boo Carter situation shakes out in terms of where is he impactful? Because I think there's so many places he could be impactful. Return game, for example, that I'm curious to see how he does and how they handle Boo Carter.
Yeah, I'm interested to see kind of who those returners are.
He's got to be at least a one, because I was thinking he would be kick return for next to D. Williams when I was imagining in my beautiful world that he was still here. I got to imagine he's used in it. I don't know how often, how much, but that's speed, man. He would think.
Yeah. And has that quick twitch too that you like to see in a punt returner.
A fart in a skillet, man.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to, you got anything else for spring practice?
No, I don't. Okay. No.
You have a good friend to tell us about?
I do. I'm trying to decide how to, let me do the good friend thing and then we'll talk more about that. Okay. Guys, when I tell you today, it was crucial. I had quite the afternoon. And so I had to wake up. I had to get in a better mood and I went to Old Reliable. I went to Grade A Grounds Coffee. I got home and I was like, man, I got to do a show tonight. And I'm just, it's been a tough afternoon. I got like $1,000 just to let you all in my life real quick. I got close to $1,000 stolen from me on someone got my credit card information and debit card information. It really pissed me off, put me in a bad mood. And I needed to wake up because I could have just fallen asleep after that. I was down and out. I wanted to do the show. And so I went to the good old faithful Grade A Grounds. I made me a B is for blueberry and I got things rolling. And oh my gosh, it's not just a morning wake me up, guys. It is for everything. Grade A Grounds is just excellent coffee, delicious. Caffeine is top notch, clearly, as you can tell, I'm a little wired. So make sure you go check out Grade A Grounds. Let me tell you a little bit about them. They are a local coffee roasting company in Kingsport, Tennessee. They're owned by two educators. In the Johnson City area. Not only do they want to bring you great coffee, they also want to support their community and students. Every purchase you make through Grade A Grounds, 5% of that is going to a nonprofit that supports students all over the Tri-Cities. It's called Coalition for Kids. That money is going directly to stock classrooms. Best part about it, my favorite part about it, is you get a label that's created by students. You're going to see their artistic talents on display in your kitchen, prominently, wherever you got your coffee station. I think it's a really cool thing that they do to kind of show who they're, so you get to see who they're supporting. And so I think it's really cool. And you guys will really enjoy the bag. So make sure you go check out Grade A Grounds. Shout out to Grade A Grounds. Love this partnership. Excited for, we've got an announcement coming soon in regards to an event we're doing in the fall. And they've done something to be really, really special and be a part of that. And I think it's going to be something else to kind of make the event just a little more kind of wrapped up, I guess. It's like adding like another bow onto it. And so I'm really excited for what they're doing with that. And I don't know when we're making that announcement. I guess we'll talk about it maybe after an SEC championship or something, but sure, it's coming soon. For now, you just get that tidbit. So
yeah. Yeah. Love the, love Grade A Grounds and everything they do. And also just the artwork is just a little chef's kiss. I just love that part of it. So yeah, go check them out. Let's get into baseball real quick.
So into what SEC, I was going to mention,
oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. No, I was going to mention, I think it was Turbyville, maybe. I couldn't remember who it was. I've heard a rumor that there's a kicker on campus right now that every kickoff, so I got to imagine their field goals are dong punches too, that every kickoff is going through the end zone. Not just through the end zone, but through the uprights. As a kicker, as a special teams, that fires me up.
That's got to be Turbyville, right?
It's got to be. I can't remember who the name they told me now, but it's got to be Turbyville.
I like our punter. I mean, I don't know who's going to be your kicker for field goals, but yeah.
Like probably Turbyville.
I would assume it's probably him too. Yeah. Yeah, kind of excited to see what he's doing at that spot because last year he just kicked off. But yeah, I just love that. Hey, you can put a guy back there. It don't matter through the end zone.
Yeah. I know, Josh Heupel and likes to do those, try to get them pinned inside the 25, but, I think it's a little demoralizing to tell a team that you're not even getting a chance to get a spark play.
Yeah.
So just kick it in the end zone, baby. Don't get too fancy with it. That's all I've got.
Okay. Baseball.
Sorry, I can tell you don't love special teams like I do. I apologize.
No, I like special teams. I'm a holder. I don't know who the holder is, but he's got to be a great special teamer.
True.
True. Special teams, special players.
I'm not going to eat the whole bag tonight, Xander. I know it's your birthday. I'm sorry. Yeah, but I did want to wish a happy birthday and an honor. I am getting into this blue raspberry big league chew for you. So
yeah,
go very big bite. Just a little bit. Just a little cheers. A little top of the morning to you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to get like you did the other night.
Worth it? Yes. I didn't love it. But Xander, I will do it again if you get 10 strikeouts.
Amen to that. Yeah. Speaking of Xander and the boys over there at Lindsey Nelson, headed over to Tuscaloosa this weekend to take on Alabama to start an SEC play. God, I just thought of a great clip that I'm going to post tomorrow.
Dylan, will you wish Xander a happy birthday from his boys, Caleb and Big League Chew? Thank you. On behalf of Big League Chew and Caleb Mitchell, More Important mm-hmm. Issues wants to wish you a happy birthday. Tweet that.
Yep.
And tag him, obviously.
Our guy. But yeah, pretty good. Alabama's having a better start to the year than I think they expected. I think they're ranked 14th per D1 baseball right now. They were rolling at one point. They were undefeated. They lost this week to Southern Miss and lost, I think, last week to Dallas Baptist. But a 15-2 on the year. They got Gage Miller, who's a JUCO transfer, who is kind of their leading bat right now. He's batting .478 with 24 RBIs, 8 home runs. They also have Ole Miss transfer TJ McCants, who's a really good outfielder, hitting pretty well for them. I think he's on a 17-game hit streak, 23 RBIs. Their pitchers have been shoving their Friday and Saturday guys, and Ben Hess is their Friday guy. He has 28 strikeouts on the year so far. And you have Greg Ferrone, the Louisville transfer, who has an ERA right now of 1.72. So, yeah, it's going to be a good weekend of baseball. Mm-hmm. I think you definitely want to get off to a good start. Don't want to be in a hole like you did last year where you just went to Missouri and absolutely laid an egg and got swept, and then you had to dig yourself out of it to get to the SEC tournament. And then find your way in a regional and stuff like that. So you just don't want to leave anything to doubt. Want to get off to a good start because it is such a gauntlet in this league. And I think a team that I think you found your stride. You have a 16-game win streak right now. The home runs are coming like crazy. You've hit 49 so far on the season. That's second in the country. I think every starter besides Hunter Ensley is hitting above 300. But the last two games, Hunter Ensley has been one of your best hitters.
Yeah. And I mean, so he will be too at some point. Like he's
at 271 right now, but everybody else above that 300 mark. Kavarys Tears is still leading the club with batting 426. Teams are rolling right now. The bats are going. You also have I feel like you have a really good rotation right now with AJ Causey, your Friday night guy. You have Drew Beam, Mr. Reliable on Saturday, and then you just kind of figure it out on Sunday. Win the first two, I guess Sunday doesn't mean as much, but you know, when AJ Russell gets back, hopefully you see him back soon. Maybe you see him some this weekend. I know he was still dealing with some soreness, but they hope to get him back this week. Don't know in what capacity, but once he gets back to full health, I think this team's going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe, I don't know, hey, maybe you find someone to kind of make it hard for AJ Russell to get back in if they're that good.
Yeah,
Yep.
Drew Beam kind of did that. And it's kind of like the Brew McCoy thing. I think it's been good for those guys to get quality starts on a weekend to see kind of what it's like, get that out of the way. And it's probably just going to help their development, especially those freshmen like Derek Schaefer and Matthew Dallas and guys like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So should be fun. Excited to get back in SEC play when these games, you know, really mean something. You're fighting tooth and nail for every win. And I think Tennessee has a really quality team to make some noise in the SEC. And, you know, being number five in the country, there's, I think, four of the top five teams are SEC teams. So not going to be easy to stay at that point, but got to be consistent. And if you're able to hit the home runs and long balls like you are, pitch, you know, well enough, I think all is well.
Yeah, I agree. Very excited. Very excited for SEC play to ramp up. Excited for Missouri to come to town only because we're doing a little guys' night. Getting in, I don't know, things might get a little nasty. If you're playing left field, right? Is that where
we're sitting? Yeah, we're sitting in left field.
If you're playing left field, just go ahead and go see your therapist pre-trip. Don't wait till after. It won't work out.
Yeah. Agreed. All right.
Dylan, you really didn't. Why didn't you quote tweet the video when you did that, Dylan? I didn't make myself clear. That's my fault. That's a leadership issue. That's on me. I'm mad at myself. Not mad at you.
Any stupidities besides that one?
Oh yeah, this isn't a stupidity because he's a college freshman, but it's hilarious. And I want you to maybe you think it is. This guy won, I guess, a national championship. He's a freshman somewhere. Let's see if it tells us in the video.
As a true freshman, could you have pictured this moment any better?
No, I guess not. I mean, it's about what I was expecting. I guess pretty cool.
Being a true freshman, what does it mean to you to take that experience in the tournament before?
Both can have as many years extra as they want, or it don't matter. That's all it means.
There are six Penn State athletes that need to compete in the finals. How important was it for you to ignite this fuse?
Great. Yeah, I mean, pretty important, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Still a little shocked by the moment, Brandon. Congratulations. And international. Congratulations, Brandon Shane. Still shocked here by the moment, but a lot of Penn State guys to see still.
His face is like this throughout the entire video. Just the entire time, he just looks like he, which I'm sure he is ecstatic, but I like how she was like, he's still shocked by the moment rather than just, I asked some really bad questions just then.
He's like, I don't know.
It's not all on them. It's so how does your individual performance help others' individual performance? He's not wrong. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got any?
Skip Bayless. Yeah. I mean, holding on by a comma, but I mean, if you just read the tweet, what he said, all in my ass.
You know,
maybe
he's him and the wife, man. You never know what they're getting into.
Yeah, I guess so.
I heard Miss Bayless can.
Isn't her name Ernestine?
There's no way.
I swear.
I think you're right. I think I have heard that, but there's no way. There was another good one. Did I not? I can't believe I didn't screenshot that. Now I can't even remember who it was about. So there's a tweet from Ernie, the Cowboys fan. He said, no team will allow Tyron Smith to not practice every week. No team will give Tyron Smith the quality back shots in the locker room before the game to loosen him up. No team knows Tyron Smith like the Cowboys do. Bring him back now. Tyron Smith, it was a parody account, tweeted, I had to really jump on Twitter to address the fact that I never once took back shots in the Cowboys locker room. I was like, yeah, I don't know if that read how you wanted it to there, bud.
Yeah. Dude, this isn't stupidity, but this is one of the funniest tweets that I've seen. And it was Lizzo in this dress, and it's just like can you see her dress in this?
That's a tarp. She got that at the Home Depot.
Somebody said Lizzo's dress was previously worn by Wrigley Field during a rain delay.
That's awesome. I had one more. Well, I think I have two more. My next one's Nick Saban. And not just Nick Saban, but the people shilling for Nick Saban. And then I like how people are defending Nick Saban by going, they showed a clip of Deion Sanders and they said, people have been saying this all along. And it farthers the point of people aren't hating on Nick Saban because he's Nick Saban in this scenario. We're hating on Nick Saban because he's wrong. That's it. And then you get the tone deaf tweet from his daughter, who is, I mean, next to Jackie Pearl, the biggest just privileged prick on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Someone, Barstool Rocky Top, tweeted something about whining from the retirement home, bud, or something. I don't know. I wouldn't make fun of Nick Saban for retiring the way he did myself, but you do you. But the tone deafness comes from her. All this is argument over should the players be paid. She takes a picture of two. One of them's in Tuscaloosa, but it is on the lake. So, you know, a nice house, but, you know, not. Maybe, I don't know, maybe. Maybe three or four. I don't know. It's expensive. But then one on the ocean, an oceanfront property. And she said, which home are you talking about, though? And it's like, that proves the point. I mean, I guess you're dunking on him being like, look how much money he made coaching athletes that don't get paid. Sure, I guess you dunked on him. But that farthers the point of athletes should get paid. Mm-hmm. Or have the ability to get paid, I should say.
Yeah, I just
love, I think she's like, stupid. I think she's stupid, personally.
Yeah.
Like, dumb.
Yeah, it kind of proved the point.
Definitely proved the point.
I just love that his main argument was just like, the rich get richer. I'm like, dude.
That's the
worst. You were the richest of the rich at Alabama. Jahmyr Gibbs, Jermaine Burton, Henry To'oto'o.
And, I mean, he did it before NIL was a thing.
Exactly. So that's just horse crap to me. What I mean, like, is NIL like a real issue? Absolutely. But I'm not going to have Nick Saban talk about it.
And it's an issue, though, that's not the athlete's fault, that people are trying to make the athlete's fault. Oh, it is 100%. The NCAA's fault. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Period. End of story. Yeah. It's not their lack of enforcement either. Yes, that's a problem, but the lack of enforcement results from their inability to prepare for the future, their inability to adapt, their inability to get ahead of the situation, try to manage a situation. Instead of managing a situation, they want to be the dictators of a situation.
Yeah.
And they can't. They can't be that. And they refuse to do anything else. And it's on the NCAA. It's not on the players. It's not on Nick Saban. It's not on Deion Sanders. It's not on any other coach in the country. But they need, the argument needs to go away from the athletes and how they're ruining the game, because it's just not true.
Yeah, agreed.
Everyone wants to blame the younger generation when the older generation is running the show right now, and they're doing an abysmal job of doing so. I don't. Did I share the John Rothstein tweet?
I don't.
They tweeted about March. Would have been a few shows ago. I'll read it real quick for you. Also, I figured out, because I was like, meaner than a pack of junkyard dogs. It's John Rothstein will tweet about Tennessee's defense, and it's meaner than a pack of Dobermans, is what it is, by the way. But here's his tweet. He said, 13 years ago, a friend from college had his engagement party in March. I was unable to attend. He was angry, and the relationship was never the same. But I always felt that he wasn't truly a great guy. Then Kimball Walker happened. Life always has a way of working itself out. That is a wild tweet for so many reasons. It's a wild tweet. But to come to John Rothstein's defense, Kimball Walker was one of the most fun marches to watch. That UConn run was so cool to watch. So I don't, yeah, no. I just don't know why he dropped in. I always felt that he wasn't truly a great guy. That's shocking. But then Kimball Walker happened. There's a lot of things you should have missed for that Kimball Walker run.
God. My man.
Also, I like that there's some people, and I am some of those people, where I don't want to, or I complain about so many social events because of where they happen on the calendar. But in my head, I'm also like, well, you can't really, all in my mind, in my perfect world, if I drew it up, that means all social events should happen in like the month of July, and that's it. And that's not reasonable. And I understand I'm not reasonable, but it's just funny. Like, I'm like, really, March? It's college basketball, and that goes into April. January, February, like, that's playoff, NFL playoffs, bowl season, basketball, not doing it. The entire fall, nope, count me out. April, that's my birthday month. Don't ask me to do anything.
Yeah, birthday month, birthday year.
It is my birthday.
I have the Washington Commanders fans going crazy that they won the free agency. And do I think they improved their team? Probably. But, like, the additions that they made, I mean, would have been a great team like 4 or 5 years ago. Zach Ertz, 33 years old. Austin Eckler, 28 years old. Marcus Mariota, 30 years old. Bobby Wagner, 33 years old. Dante Fowler, Jr., 29 years old. Brandon McManus, 32 years old. I'm like, dude. I mean, they have to have the oldest team ever.
They're applying. This is the new owners of the Washington team, whatever they're called now. They're just as scummy as Dan Snyder. This is an embezzlement scheme. They're going to embezzle all their Social Security checks. That's what this is. I mean, I know this game. It's been there, done that, brother. Yeah, that's quite the. It'd be different if you added one 33-year-old. Yeah. Or if it was a 40-year-old named Tom Brady. It would be very different.
Yeah. And they do have the number 2 overall pick. They have some draft picks. But, guys, let's not be crazy over, you know, signing a bunch of 30-year-olds. I mean, come on.
Who do you take early on that you're just – they're clearly the franchise guy this year?
I think other than Caleb Williams, I don't think there is one that I'm just like.
But Caleb Williams, he's not said his piece about it. But what he said, the little he said, it hadn't looked good. Like, do you want him to be your franchise guy? Everything that's good about him as a football player seems to not be good about him as a
right.
teammate, an employee.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking just as like football, like there's a lot of worries with just about everybody else.
Right.
Like if you don't get Caleb Williams, like Drake, I thought Drake May would be that, but like this year he kind of wasn't great. Right. Jaden Daniels is just running straight up into defenders, like, and he's going to get killed. Spencer Rattler, hell no. Joe Milton, no. I mean, there's not one that I'm just like, that's J.J. McCarthy. I mean, he barely threw the ball at Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of question marks and a lot of guys. Yeah. Before we get into anything else, I do have another friend to tell you about, and that's our good friends at Knoxville Tours. It is never too early to think about football season. Tennessee takes on Oklahoma this season in Norman to welcome them to the SEC. Our good friends at Knoxville Tours have a great five-day tour that will be September 19th through the 23rd that takes all the stress off of you when booking and planning an away trip. The trip on the Motor Coach Tour will take you to and from Tennessee to Oklahoma for the game and some fun stops along the way. The trip will include transportation to Oklahoma, a four-night hotel accommodations, a dinner show at Cattleman's, and just great fun all day long. Go cheer on the Vols in the Midwest. They will also be doing tours to Arkansas and Vanderbilt this football season. So give Knoxville Tours a call today at 865-688-6232 to book your tour and let them know More Important Issues sent you.
There's some exciting away games.
There is.
Knoxville Tours is a great way to do it.
Yep.
Get on that right now.
Do it. All right. Anything else?
You know, I think that's it for me. I think now I'm getting – now that – I don't know if it's we just concluded the show. I started thinking about – the game tomorrow and what this week could be. And I got a little nervous, got a little butterflies going, which I like. But.
I feel that.
Man, let's do it.
Let's do it. Guys, while you're doing that, go check out rowback.com also. Get 20% off your first purchase with promo code More Important Issues. And they have the awesome Tennessee State polos there. Go get you one. I got one. Caleb's got one on the way. Just love those polos. Love everything they have. Q-zips, hoodies, T-shirts, pants, joggers, whatever you need, they got it. Go check them out. Use promo code More Important Issues for 20% off your first purchase.
Love Roback.
Guys, it's tournament time. Let's get it. Let's get fired up. Can't wait. Anything else? Do you have anything to add? Okay. All right.
I don't. Guys, we're good.
Guys, thank y'all for listening. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.